Hi mums, welcome back to the Confident Mum podcast with your host Olga Uju. I am so glad you are joining me again today and welcome to the first instalment of the Confident Mum Mumspiration Monday. In this episode, I'm joined by an amazing guest who I know you're going to enjoy listening to, so stay tuned. You know, I'm often asked whether it is possible for mums to leave the workforce and start their own successful businesses all while raising their children. This guest has not only done just that, but she also helps other mums to achieve their dreams too. In this episode, we discuss how confident she felt when embarking upon her entrepreneurial journey, the biggest challenge of being both a mother and a businesswoman, what advice she would give to mums with young children starting their own businesses, and so much more. It was a real pleasure to be joined by this guest. Her path to success was not a straight line at all, but it was an inspiring one. So enjoy the episode, and I will see you on the next one. Okay, hi mums, welcome back to the Confident Mum podcast with Olga Uju. So glad that you're joining me again today. On today's episode, we have a really interesting guest. She fits the criteria of what this podcast is all about, a mum, a businesswoman, and a general success. Well, she's a mother, she's an entrepreneur, public speaker, best-selling author, and the founder of Mothers in Business, which is a global women exceptional award winner in 2020. And she's also a martial artist. Don't want to mess with Linda, but I will let her tell us anything more that she wants us to know before we start our questions. So hi, Linda.
Hi, Olga. Thanks for having me on your show.
No problem at all. Thanks for agreeing to come on. Yeah, first of all, is there anything else that you want to let us know?
Lots of balls juggling, you know, with motherhood, as well as, you know, my businesses that I run as well. But my real passion is about helping other mothers, helping them to be more and to achieve more, and to know that it is possible to be a great mum and a great businesswoman at the same time.
Brilliant. And that's exactly what I want to unpack. I was told once upon a time that I had to choose really between a career and motherhood. And I worked with a number of people that said that they delayed or put off motherhood because they also thought they had to pick or choose between the two. Or if they became mothers, they couldn't really have a success as a businesswoman or entrepreneur. And people like you have obviously busted that myth. And it's great to show this and demonstrate this. So how I want to start really is just, how did it all begin? Like, how did you really kind of start your entrepreneurial journey? Or do you want to just tell us what happened prior to getting into entrepreneurism?
I've got a bit of a long story, and it really stems back to my childhood. As a young child, I was very shy. I didn't have a lot of confidence at all. And I wouldn't even smile. Like now I love smiling. Seeing if my
you are very smiley. Yes, I do see you on social media. You've got a lovely smile.
Yeah, thank you. And so, you know, when I was younger, I used to think that I was very ugly. I had like lots of self-confidence issues. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, I had gappy teeth and they were all sticking out. And I didn't even want to smile at people. So I'd walk around with a really glum face all of the time with my head down. And that really had a knock-on effect on my confidence. And especially, like, you know what it's like at school, you know, there's certain groups of people, you've got the cool crowd and you've got the ones that, you know, don't have any friends or whatever. I had this burning desire. I just wanted to be popular. I wanted to be with the cool people. And unfortunately, I made some very poor decisions at school, and I focused more on trying to fit in than I did on my education. So I ended up leaving school with no qualifications, no English, no maths.
You would never know at all.
Never. So I later on realised, you know, this is not going to be a great start for me. Not only had I let myself down, but I'd also let my parents down. And in fact, I think I did leave with one qualification, and that was in RE. And I, you know, I had no intentions of being a nun. So that was really not going to, that wasn't going to help me very, very well in terms of a career choice. And when I was growing up, when I left school, there was a couple of choices in terms of, you know, the environment that was around me at that time. It was either you leave school at 16 and you go and get a job, or you go to college. And because I'm from a family of four girls, the tradition was to go to, you know, some sort of secretarial administration college and then get a job as a secretary.
A safe route.
Yeah, yeah, because, you know, the sort of school I went to, you didn't have ambitions to, the children certainly didn't have ambitions to go to university or anything like that. The secondary school I went to was an urban inner city school. And I don't know if you've heard of St. George's. It was a school that they made a film about where the head teacher tried to split up a gang fight at one point, and he got stabbed and he was murdered.
Wow. Okay, so it was that kind of school, yeah?
Yeah, so there wasn't any sort of real ambition or any sort of encouragement from the tutors about, you know, pursuing higher education or goals. So I thought, well, that was it. But I had this burning desire, saying to myself, I wanted to do more. I wanted to be more than just doing administration, although there's nothing wrong with that. But I just had this burning desire to do something more. And I didn't know what that was. And I was still struggling with my confidence as well. But I thought, if I found something that I could really get my teeth stuck into, that would help me to, you know, to overcome my confidence.
So where did that come from? If you wasn't surrounded by that, was it something you saw on telly, your parents, relatives?
I just used to see other people. I used to sort of, not necessarily mirror them, but I just used to watch and observe them. And in a book that I co-wrote, I wrote my story. And it starts off when I was very young. We used to live in this three-story townhouse. And we had these sash windows. So every evening I would pull the sash window up halfway and I would just perch outside the window, me and my sister, and we'd just watch everyone going by. And this wasn't her view, this is my view. I would be watching everyone just thinking how confident they were, and I'd be watching everything that they were dressing, how they were walking, how they were talking, because that's what people did in those days, back in the 70s. You just sort of have your head perched out the window looking at the world go by.
You know, it's kind of a form of visualization, if you think of it. Yeah, in today's world, when we've got more terminology about visualization and things like that, that's what it sounds like you were doing unconsciously, I guess. Also.
Exactly, because I was so young, I didn't really know what I wanted. And so I ended up going to the secretarial college, got my diploma, but I did also go back to evening classes so that I could get my English and my maths qualifications as well.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then I got my first job, and it was in a high fashion retailers, and I was doing an administration role. And I was so nervous. I don't know how I got through the interview process, but I did. And I got the job. But when I went to work, I would just do my work. I'd, you know, had my head down, get on with it. When it came to lunchtime, again, my nerves kicked in. I didn't feel confident enough to have conversations with people. And in the very early days, I would bring my lunch in, but I wouldn't eat my lunch at my desk, and I wouldn't eat it in the restaurant or the canteen. I'd actually go into the toilet and eat my lunch.
Oh, gosh. Oh.
Yeah. I'd go behind a cubicle, eat my lunch really, really quickly, because I didn't want people to think that was in there for too long. I'd eat and then I'd come back out and get on with my work. And that was just the way that I dealt with it, because I didn't have that confidence. But then my boss at the time, she saw something in me, and I'm not quite sure what it was, but she felt that I had some sort of potential. And so she offered me the opportunity to go and have even further education in HR, because that was the department I was working. And so she arranged for the company to sponsor me. And I ended up doing a number of different HR qualifications. And then I ended up, after a period of time, getting a degree in human resources management. Mm-hmm. So that's where my original career started. So I ended up having an 18-year career in HR. And that helped to boost my confidence. So going into my 20s, you know, I felt like I was on top of the world. I was socializing, I was dating, I was going on holidays, and everything was going great. And then I met my husband in my late 20s, and we got married and had children quite quickly.
Mm-hmm. I can relate, yeah.
All of a sudden, as soon as I had my child, my first daughter, because I've got three, everything, you know, as it is, you come home with a child, you don't really know what to do, and the first couple of months is wonderful, you know, you've got this new baby girl. And then it was like thud, it just all changed. And I started feeling like my younger self. I started feeling like my confidence had gone.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt quite alone in that. Although I was able to talk to my husband about it, he wasn't another mother, you know, and my mum didn't express having any of those types of feelings. So I thought, it must be me, you know. And so I just prodded along thinking, oh, well, it's just me. Then overwhelm would start to set in, and mum guilt as well, because at the same time, I was on maternity leave, but we'd also started our, you know, creating our wealth. And so we started investing in property. So I was a new mum, a new wife, new home, new business, plus a job to go back to at the end of maternity leave. So it was all just, you know, a bit too much. And so time went on, and I remember a period of time when we had more children, and we were going out to properties literally every weekend doing them up, because in the early days we couldn't afford to have cleaners or, you know, painters and decorators, so we'd do it ourselves. And so myself and my husband would take our three kids along with us every weekend. I'd get this rug out, my three kids would sit on the floor in a huddle. They weren't allowed to move from this mat because, you know, the properties wouldn't be clean, and they'd have their toys. My eldest daughter would be playing mum, and I would literally feel like the worst mum in the world. I'd feel so guilty because I felt that I was focusing on my wealth creation, or our wealth creation, rather than being a mum.
I'm going to just stop you there and just rewind slightly. So at this point, had you finished working in HR, resigned or left, or...?
There was a point where I was doing everything.
Literally doing a bit of everything. Okay, so it was like a side hustle. Did you start it off with your husband?
The property,
And it developed into something more. So you're doing all these things, but at the back of your mind, or maybe at the front and forefront of your mind, there's no one really, an outlet for you as a mum to discuss how you're feeling or taking on motherhood. That'd be right?
Yeah, exactly. As a mother yourself, and for the mothers who are listening, as mothers, we want everything, or we try to make everything perfect. And there's no such thing as, you know, the perfect mum or having the perfect home. You know, our homes will get messy, but, you know, I was going through a phase where I wanted everything perfect. It just wasn't working. And that's what leads to the overwhelm, because you're just so focused on trying to do everything all at one time. And so in the early days when I was, you know, I was working full-time initially, then it, you know, I started to reduce my hours. Once I started to see, you know, that our property business was making cash flow, I didn't need to be there as often. And there was a point in time when my husband said to me, "You're doing too much," because he also has other businesses as well. And he said, "Why don't we get some help in? Why don't we get a cleaner in?" And I'm like, "A cleaner?" And he's like, "Yeah, and, you know, she can help out with the ironing and stuff." And I'm like, "Well, you know, I'm not quite comfortable having another woman in my house cleaning and doing my ironing." He's like, no, she's just there to help you. So anyway, after a period of time, I thought, okay, well, I'll try it out at least. But I literally went around my house with the Hoover and the duster, cleaning my house before she arrived.
I had a similar post that I wrote about this on Instagram. That's so funny that you're literally very much in tune. I know exactly what you're saying. Yeah,
I literally wanted my house to be clean, or not pristine, but just clean enough for her not to think that I was a bad mum and that I couldn't keep my house clean. So, but then when she did start it coming around more often, I was like thinking, you know, I've got some pockets of time here. This isn't too bad.
Good, yeah.
And so I gradually sort of released that sort of fear that I had of somebody coming in and sort of judging me.
So where did you think it came from, this judgment? Everyone's got their own kind of ways of dealing with these things, and there's lots of similar talk. Like I said, I had a similar experience myself in the cleaning department, and someone else coming into our house. But what is it you think that is the issue?
I think it's our own self-talk. It's the story that we tell ourselves in our head. We are the best actors and actresses of all time, and we can create the, you know, the most dramatic story, the worst story possible in our head. But what we're not good at is creating a great story with a positive outcome that, you know, is opposite to what our fears are. And often we will replay and replay that negative story in our head, and so much until we actually believe it. And it's a bit like mum guilt. You know, whenever I'm mentoring or coaching somebody on mum guilt, I always say to the mother, you know, what are you actually feeling? And what you're feeling, has your child actually expressed that to you? Have they said to you that they don't feel that you're spending enough time? Or is it just you feeling, you know, you're not spending enough time with them? And so I think it's all about our own internal mindset and also sort of pressures around society. So whereas you said at the beginning, you know, you were around certain people that were telling you that you perhaps needed to make a choice between motherhood or business or wait until the children were older or whatever. It's about listening to lots of naysayers rather than focusing on what you really want, what is your outcome, and living your life for you. Because I spent a lot of my years being a people pleaser and doing things that I thought other people wanted me to say, wanted me to do, wanted how they wanted me to look, to dress, just to fit in. And that, you know, that stems back to childhood. And it wasn't until I went through a variety and many years of self-development and working on myself that I realized that, you know, life is such a precious gift. It can be taken away from us at any point in time, and that we are the creators of our own lives. We have to decide on what our outcome is and what our goals are and just go for it. And especially as mothers, because we are there to inspire our children. Obviously fathers are there too, but you know, we
set the tone.
We spend a lot of time telling our children what to do, but a large proportion of the time children don't necessarily do as they're told, they do as they see.
Now I want to stop you there for a second, because I'm interested in finding out about your own childhood or the kind of parenting style your own mother had, and if that influenced your early or late motherhood in any way, shape or form.
My mum was my best friend. She's passed away now, and she came over to the UK as part of the Windrush generation. So she left her family of 16 in the Caribbean and came over to the UK with my dad on her own. So she was very brave.
Yeah. Oh, of course. Similar story as well. They come with a mission, don't they?
Yes, exactly. Because I certainly couldn't do that, I don't think. No. And so I always saw my mum as an inspiration. And so she was very hardworking. She worked two, sometimes three jobs part-time, doing, you know, cleaning, housekeeping, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was always brought up in an environment where both my parents were always working. They worked hard, and they always had a principle of, you know, instilling in us that we have to work hard and save hard, always save for a rainy day and all of that kind of stuff. And so my mum wasn't really a risk taker. She liked a lot of certainty. So I grew up like that, wanting to be certain and wanting to make sure that things were in place and that I didn't spend money on things that I couldn't afford. So, and, you know, it took me, I think I was in my mid-30s before I had my first credit card, because my mum never had a credit card. So I grew up thinking that that wasn't a good thing to have.
Bad or
And so that was kind of what my childhood.
So it's very cautious and sensible and play by the rules, and if you stick to a lane then you will eventually get somewhere. You know, you might not be overly rich or successful, but you're going to be happy and stable. And I think that's mirrored in a lot of communities and cultures, especially with the generations that came over, like you said, in the 70s or 80s as well. When did you give yourself permission? Because what you've done from going from your upbringing, your early insecurities to where you are now has to take a lot of courage. So when did you give yourself permission? Was there a switch point or was it a slow progress?
The major turning point was about 10 years ago when my mum passed away.
Okay.
Because that was a complete shock, and I didn't deal with it very well. It took me 3 years to get over at her passing. And so through that, I had to go through lots of self-development to come out on the other side, to come out on a positive note. And I was very fortunate to be surrounded by and have connections with different types of self-development that enabled me to realize who I am and start to work from my authentic self as opposed to working from somebody that everyone else expects me to be. And once I realized that, I just felt much more free because I was just being able to just be me.
So did you make a decision? Was it a decision or was it a gradual thing?
No, I made a decision.
You made a decision. Yeah, that's where I think it starts. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because I wasn't expecting to lose my mum, and I realised that if I lose my mum like that, my kids can lose me like that.
Right.
I want to make sure, and I want to juice every single moment out of my life with my children and my husband, and make sure that I create as many magical memories as possible and live my life to the full, rather than waiting and putting things off because of, you know, procrastinating or making excuses for not to move forward. So yeah, I made a complete decision, and you know, myself and my husband, we visualized together, we planned together. He was at a different phase to me because he was just out there just doing his thing anyway, and you know, I just left him to get on with it, you know, in the time I wasn't there, and I just didn't quite get where he was going, but I just thought, okay, let him go, let him do what he's doing, until I had to find myself on my own.
It's an individual journey. I mean, you can be surrounded by the greatest people or the not so greatest people, but ultimately, I believe as well, you just have to decide. But the challenge comes again, you make a decision and you're like, I don't know, I'm going to become fit or start a business, and for example, and of course you're going to have these old voices coming up, or you know what you're doing, you know, oh, you know, you better stay safe, or maybe you want to be an entrepreneur, actually maybe you should just look for work and, you know, have a regular steady income. So when you were on your journey of moving forward, you'd made a decision sparked by your mother's untimely passing, but did you ever have these voices come up again, and what did you do to talk yourself back into staying on track?
Of course those voices come back again, and they still do even up until today. But for me, it's about investing in your self-care and your self-development, because you can never be too old or too young to start investing in yourself. And you know, there's so many different things that I do to sort of switch my mindset, but because I constantly repeat and do different things, I just automatically, something in my, you know, if I start having a negative thought, something in my brain says, Linda, come on, you need to just like switch out of this. And then there's like specific mantras or affirmations that I'll say to myself to switch myself out of it. Because the environment, you know, especially now, you know, we're in COVID, you can choose to sort of focus on the negativity in the news, or you can focus to keep going, you know, despite whatever's going on, you know, externally in the world. And so that's what I do. I have my goal, I have my vision, and I'm just relentless at just going to achieve it. And when I do have those days, and they do come up, you know, where I'm thinking, can I do this? Am I good enough? You know, what on earth do you think you're doing, Linda? You know,
it's inner critic. Yeah.
Dig deep, and I just find a way, because it's better for me. It's better for me to try something and not succeed and learn from my mistakes than to not even try at all and just stay safe and not even know what possibly could have been the outcome. And that's one of the things, actually, is that, you know, when people have fear, they tend to stay away from things. They shy away from it because they don't want that level of rejection. But when you think about an obstacle or something that's difficult, if you think about it as a, for me anyway, if I think about it as a learning opportunity, a learning obstacle, that helps to change my mindset, so that I think of it, I'm not going into it from a place of fear. So I'm thinking about it more of a place from love, because this is going to teach me something so that I will do it better next time if it doesn't work out.
That's such a great mindset shift. Would you agree that that was how you transitioned, I guess, from employee to entrepreneur? Were you fearful to begin with, or?
Oh, I was absolutely petrified. And I needed a few nudges from my husband, even to get into property in the first place, because I didn't understand it. And I was like, I'm not doing this, you know. And when I first went into it, you know, you realize that you have different skills. He's got different skill sets to me. So initially we were clashing because we were trying to do everything together. But we then realized that we've got different skills, so we need to focus on different parts of the business and then come together, you know, in terms of the end goal. Yes, it was scary for me, and I had loads of little voices going off in my head, and especially because when we were building our portfolio, we were having children at the same time, and, you know, me coming from a point of security, thinking, ooh, you know, this is not good. I need to be certain that I'm going to have enough money for the children, for clothes, for food, for this, for that. Because, you know, going into property can be risky if you don't know what you're doing.
I like the fact that you said you wasn't entirely confident when you began. And sometimes we feel that we have to be so ready before we begin anything, but we're never really ready, are we? And we're just wasting time, ultimately.
And that's what a lot of people do. They do waste a lot of time. That, you know, wanting to get their website perfect, their business cards perfect. They're not out there talking to people, trying to find out who their key clients are or whatever. And they waste a lot of time doing that. And then by the time they get around to that, they've absorbed themselves too much in the detail that they've forgotten about the whole sort of marketing and you know, obtaining clients.
For mums listening in, you don't have to be perfect or feel 100% confident to start. You don't have to feel confident at all. You can just literally just decide that, okay, I'm going to move in forward in this direction and just take things one step at a time, I guess.
Yeah, but and having said that, you know, it's difficult. It is challenging.
It is.
Not just say that, but because you may be in an environment where you have people around you that are not supportive of that view. Okay. Wake up in the morning, you know, all energized. Yes, yes, I'm going to go for it. I'm going to do this, do that. And then somebody will just say the wrong thing at the wrong time, and then you get completely deflated. And so this is the reason why I created Mothers in Business, because I didn't have a type of platform like I've created, a safe platform for mothers to go to, so that when they do have those sort of blip periods, they're surrounded by other mothers that have similar experiences to them, but they can then uplift, those other mothers can then uplift them and give them the inspiration, the empowerment, the accountability that they need to keep going. Because once you, it's like climbing a hill, isn't it? You know, like a bike or whatever, you know, you have to build up that momentum. But and before you get to that momentum stage, it seems like a struggle. You're going up, then you're going back down, you're going up, going back down. But to get that pure stage of momentum where you've reached that top of the mountain, and then you can just start riding nicely on a surface, you do need that. You do need that support. You do need other people to hold your hand. And I struggled with that as a mother initially, because I felt that if I asked for help, if I asked for support, that would mean that others would think that I couldn't cope or that I couldn't manage. And I think that's what a lot of mothers do find a challenge, asking for support. They'd rather just get on with it on their own and, you know, act like supermum and, you know, then, you know, in the end of the evening, crumble in the corner.
Literally. And hard times are frequent in motherhood. It's something that, you know, it just comes across often and in waves. So in terms of your own toughest motherhood moment or experience that you wouldn't mind sharing, and how did you kind of climb out of that?
Toughest moment, I think it would be when I've had a business opportunity and trying to wear both hats. And there was a period of time where we'd gone through this particular business opportunity and we lost a lot of money. And so for me, you know, there was a lot of learning there, but it was about my sense of financial security, because we'd lost a lot of money because we hadn't done various checks, and we made a big mistake. And I just had my third child, and he was only like a couple of months old, and I just thought, what am I doing? Why am I doing this? And I just remember sitting in our home office at the time, and you know that lovely baby smell.
Yeah, oh, yes, I do. Get to experience it again soon. Yes, I do. Yeah.
Oh, wonderful. And I just remember holding him in my arms and just having that smell and just apologizing to him and just saying, look, I'm really sorry. I don't know why we did this. Because I was scared. I was scared that it's going to have such a detrimental impact on our financial freedom and our, everything that we'd work for. But somehow, you just find it, you just find a way. As long as you have that mindset that I will find a way, I will get out of this, I will do whatever it takes to make this right, rather than, oh my goodness, I'm completely scared, I'm petrified, I don't know what to do, I can't cope, I can't do this, I can't do that. No, that's not going to get you out of the situation. That's going to cause you stress. That's going to, have an impact on your health, on your mental health, your well-being. And so for me, it's about just always thinking I'm going to find a way.
Brilliant. No, amazing. And in terms of being a mum and a businesswoman, what's just kind of been the biggest challenge there?
Time. I'd say time has been the biggest challenge, especially when the children are young. My kids now are aged 13, 15, and 19, so it's lovely, it's wonderful because they're all.
Yeah, out of the trenches, not necessarily changing on potty training.
Oh yeah, but then it
I've
kind
got a long way to go.
of, yeah, but you think when they're young, you can't wait for them to get older, but the challenges are not easier, they're just different. They're different.
They're different.
Yeah, so the challenges are just to the same extent, but just very different.
Yes, just very different.
Yeah, time is the biggest thing, especially like when your business day is cut up by the school run because you're effectively working 10 till 2 as opposed to being able to work 9 till 5.
Yeah, your whole week into 3 hours a day or something.
Yes, exactly. It's the challenge of trying to coordinate your meetings in that time and trying to sort of not get distracted by doing the washing and cooking the dinner, which then, takes out chunks of time as well. And so, for me during the school holidays, I always used to initially dread those, thinking, oh, how am I going to cope? Because now I've not even got the 10 till 2 time. I've got nothing. I need
Me
to.
this week, half term. Yeah, exactly.
But then I thought, well, how can I just find a way? I then started to get up early and allow my kids to have a lie-in. So they thought, oh yeah, this is great. They can have a lie-in, but it really meant that I got an extra hour or two to work. And then I would say to them, okay, well, you do whatever you need to do. And then between, I don't know, 11 till 3, that'll be our time. And we're going to go out and we're going to do whatever, or we'll bake a cake or whatever we're going to do. But have set time for them rather than trying to let the day go by and try and, manage emails, manage them, cook the dinner, do the washing all at the same time. So just having chunks of time for different things, but also getting them involved in the business very early
Definitely.
as well.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one. Yeah.
Even if it's just filing, at 8:05.
And that's a good confidence booster for them. I would, yeah,
It
by the time,
is,
yeah,
isn't it?
yeah.
And
That's a good tip.
I started off with my girls and I thought, yeah, this is great. And then I thought, oh, my son, okay, he just wants to play. It's not going to be interesting. And he absolutely loves it because they get a reward as well. So it might be, oh, well, you're going to get an extra hug today, or, you will get an extra 50 pence, or well, that won't cost now at their age 50 pence. But, it's not going to get more
No, of
than
course.
that.
No, that makes sense. And I think that goes with all areas of parenting. Oh, nice to be in the kitchen. I think, oh, why can't I just ask my daughter to come in and watch me cook as well? You get them involved in the little things, and as they get older, they get involved in more things. So you're not completely overwhelmed with, I've got to do the dishes. They can empty the washing machine, slowly, or just assist you with certain things. And like you said, get involved in the business. And I think the sooner they get involved in small things, it just really adds up, and
Yeah.
it helps them to appreciate you as a mother, I think, a bit more. No, that's really good advice.
They get to understand why you have to be away sometimes from them because you're working on the business. And if they understand what you're doing and why you're doing it, that in itself helps to overcome mum guilt.
And for them, because kids do have a sense of rejection,
Yeah, because they don't.
especially when mummy's not around and things like that. And it completely misinterpreted when you're really working because you are busy. So it just helps to, I think, bridge that gap. Yeah, make you all work better as a team, I guess.
Yeah.
Is there anything that you wish you'd known sooner as a mum of young children starting a business?
I wish I'd known that it was okay to make mistakes and that I didn't have to have all of my balls in a row, or ducks in a row, as they say.
Yeah.
You know, I wish I'd known how to deal with my fears a lot earlier. And I'd also wish that I realised that it doesn't matter what people think about you. They're going to think about you in whatever way anyway. So just do what you need to do. Have a goal, have a vision. Surround yourself with like-minded people, because it's so
easy
to be dissuaded by people that don't have the same view as you, that are negative or think that your role as a mother is, you know, is limited.
Yeah, because you know, sometimes even if the people around you are negative, they're not always even intending to be negative or off-putting. It just doesn't make sense to them, and that can eventually put you off, like, oh, mums, we don't do that. When you're a mum, you should just be all about your kids, and you don't need to have these aspirations, especially if you've got a husband who's working as well. Why do you need to try and do it all? Just stay at home and be content. And actually, this is what this podcast is about, and guests like you saying, no, you can actually have visions and goals and dreams and do both, and it's absolutely fine. And I love the fact that you're saying surround yourself with find a tribe or a team or, you know, a group of people, whether online or in person, that can keep you supported and uplifted in times where you are feeling down or maybe don't have the support that you feel you need and that you do need, I guess, to succeed.
Yeah,
because you've been surrounded by like-minded people, has that quickened your success or helped you reach your goals more quickly?
Yes, it certainly has, because you feel more of a sense of accountability. And just, you know, in my own, you know, I have my own standards. And I think that's, standards is a really key thing for everyone to have, whether you're a mother, father or not. You know, having your own set of standards and living by your standards and making sure that, for example, you know, you've got a meeting to go to and it's at 1 o'clock, making sure that you're there on time for your meeting, or not even being on time but being early.
Yeah,
you're prepared, because how you treat yourself is a reflection as to how other people will treat you as well. So if you're always turning up late, you're likely to attract people that are going to turn up late as well. And It's about, just going back to what we were saying about, if you've got people around you that aren't as positive as you or aren't on the same page as you, if you give up, then you're giving in. But if you keep going, you'll eventually see those very same people. They will be the ones not actively cheering in your corner, but they will be. You will see that they'll turn around.
That's a good one, yeah.
Come around with their tail between their legs and they'll be asking you, how did you do that?
Oh, I love that.
And then you just, you know, smell nicely and but don't.
Oh, the satisfaction, yeah.
Don't just sort of think that because they're not on your side now that's it. They're never going to come around. They will at some point eventually. It may take a long time, many years, but yeah.
Your success has given them permission. Like, maybe they think, actually, if Linda can, then I should at least try. I guess that's what it might come down to.
Yeah.
In the long run, yeah.
In the meantime, you have to be very focused. And just keep going. You'll get so many knockbacks, and that's just part of life. That's all part of the growth. And you'll make mistakes, but just know why you're doing it. And if you keep telling yourself, you know, you attract whatever you think about, you attract. If you think things aren't going to go right, you think things are going to fail or you're not going to make any money, that's exactly what you're going to get. But if you think positively and you think, yes, this is my goal, this is what I want, this is what I'm going to achieve, and you actually visualize it and you see it, you actually see it out there, then that's all your mind is going to be fed, positive thoughts. And that's what I believe, it, that the universe will attract that to you.
Amazing. And that's kind of leading to my final question. If you had to say to someone, a mum now, you know what, I really want to start my business, I'm scared of stepping out, or maybe my kids are too young, I'm feeling guilty in that sense, just what confidence boosting tips would you highlight or want to repeat or just make sure they clearly understood from your perspective?
I mean, I would say to them, first of all, come and join my Mothers in Business Mastermind.
Yeah, I'm going to look into that. So, yeah, why not? Exactly. Yeah, definitely.
And I would say to them, you know, what is it that makes you happy? you know, do you really want to go into business, or are you just sort of jumping on this thing because, you know, okay, it's the best thing?
That's a good question. Yeah.
Whatever this business is that you've chosen, is it something that as soon as you wake up in the morning, it excites you, or does it feel really heavy and like, oh my goodness, I've really got to do this? You know, and if it doesn't excite you, then don't do it. Don't do it at all. And why are you doing it? Is it because you just want to say that you've got a business, or is it because you want to make some money out of it, or is it because you want to create a legacy that you can leave for your children, or is it because you want to serve people? And if you're not serving people, then you don't have a business. You know, if it's just for you, it's not a business, because you're not helping anyone.
Mm.
You know, a business is about making sure that you help somebody, that you solve their problem. You know, even if it's something, you know, we take Tesco's for example.
Yeah,
we need food, and their solution is to provide us with food and to provide us with a good service. So if your business idea is not helping other people, then you don't have a business.
Yeah.
So making sure that you're clear on what service you're going to provide.
So clarity, yeah.
Yeah. And then and making sure that it's something that excites you.
Yeah, so your why.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then ensuring that, you know, whatever goal you set, that you don't wait till you've achieved that goal before you celebrate.
Oh, I love that tip. Yeah.
So say, for example, you know, before I set up Mothers in Business, my goal is to, it might have been something like, you know, my goal is to set up Mothers in Business so I can help mothers to be more and achieve more around the world. Okay, I'm not going to wait till I've done that to like 5,000 women. I'm going to, you know, once I've, you know, I've put my website together, or I've started being more active on social media, all those little steps, I need to celebrate, because the more you celebrate, the more you attract. You know, we do celebrations all the time at our Mothers in Business mastermind groups, because it's important that we do that. And, you know, even little celebrations like you managed to have a bath, you know,
exactly,
last night,
yeah,
instead of having a rush shower. You had a nice bubble bath, or you had 5 minutes to read a good book, or you went out and had a walk. And, you know, you just had time to reflect on nature, on yourself, and just had some me time. All about self-care.
Amazing.
And then my final thing would be, you know, not to go for perfection. Go for action. Just take lots and lots of action. And be persistent, be active, and you will achieve your goals.
Well, I think you said it all. Those are phenomenal tips, and some of it's so simple, but we just don't think how effective they can be. And the questions that you've asked us to ask ourselves, or questions that you would ask, I think people listening in should take note and definitely write those down and think about really what is their motivation. And yeah, I think it's been a wonderful chat, and I've enjoyed talking to you. Where can mums find you?
Mums can find me practically everywhere for social media. I am on Instagram. I post lots of inspirational quotes to, you know, to keep me going.
Yeah.
I'm under Inspiring Mothers in Business. I'm also in Facebook under the same name, Inspiring Mothers in Business, and on LinkedIn under my name, Linda Atram. I am also in YouTube as well. I've got few videos there, you know, mothers that I've interviewed. So yeah, you can find me there. The book that I co-authored is on Amazon. It was an Amazon bestseller, and it's called The Mind of Female Entrepreneurs: How to Think and Act to Succeed in Business. So that has stories of lots of women from around the world, and I've got my chapter in there. And you can connect with me also via Eventbrite as well, if you want to come along to one of our free sessions, one of our free mastermind sessions that we hold once a month, and just feel the environment.
Yeah, you'll be seeing me in that, definitely. Yeah, that's something I'm gonna add to my list of things to do. Why not? It's always good to see what people are doing, and like you said, environment and community is very important. So yeah, let's take the action that you've said that we should all take. So mums, I want to thank Linda for being on today. Definitely check her out on all the platforms that she has mentioned. And we'll see you on the next episode. Thanks for tuning in, and have a great week. Thank you so much, Linda.
Thanks for your time. Thanks for having me.
Thank you again for tuning in. If this episode helped you in any way, please share so more mums can find the podcast and benefit from the information on today's show. Please also subscribe and review the podcast. It will be greatly appreciated and really keep me encouraged. Till the next episode, remember that you are the best mum for your children, and I know you're doing an amazing job. So be kind and patient with yourselves. See you soon.